Welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And it feels like ages since I've seen you. I think we've had a couple of other episodes in between, so this is very exciting to be back in the recording studio.
Yep.
This week we've been reading What Are You Going Through by Sigrid Nunez. But first, book news, and I should preface this by saying Annie and I are both quite distracted today. Annie's recovering from a migraine and I've been glued to the TV watching the election coverage, which will be old news by the time this goes up. But it's all been very distracting.
Yes, absolutely. Feels like a very out of the world week.
Yes, so we're not quite with it. But in book news, Blacktop Wasteland, which we read recently and loved and talked about on the podcast by S.A. Cosby, is being adapted to for the big screen. So they've got screenwriter Virgil Williams, who did Mudbound, which I think was an award-winning Netflix movie. I could be wrong. Or award-nominated. And I think it's John Legend's company. Does sound right?
Yeah.
So very exciting. And as we, I think we talked about, we sort of prophesized about this when we did it on the podcast, that we just could so see it on the big screen.
Yeah, I think
so,
it'll be perfect. Can't wait to see that.
Yes, can't wait for that one. And in other news, the Not the Booker Prize has been announced as opposed to the Booker. So the Not the Booker, which I think The Guardian runs that prize, has been won by Hello Friend, We Missed You by Richard Owen Roberts. And so Richard Roberts will win a Guardian coffee mug. For that one. But apparently this year he won both the public vote and the judges' vote. And in previous years, in the last couple of years, I think the judges have overruled the public vote. So he actually won both. So
that's nice.
And now on to our book of the week, which is What Are You Going Through, the latest novel by Sigrid Nunez.
Yes, so we know Sigrid Nunez from her previous book, which won the National Book Award in 2018, called The Friend. And we covered that on the podcast. So she's an American writer. This is her eighth novel, What Are You Going Through? She's also written a biography of Susan Sontag, which covers her life, and she actually came into Susan's life by through working for her. She was hired to kind of help collate some of Susan's notes and letters and ended up in a relationship with her son and lived with them for a short time. So I think it's a really interesting point of view from which to write a biography.
Yeah.
To have been so intimately involved in someone's life. But obviously there's a lot of affection and love there. So I'd love to read the biography. She also teaches at Boston Uni, teaches creative writing.
Sorry, I think we found that with The Friend as well, that she does have characters who are academics and you can tell she's been
it's
in
very,
that world.
Not quite snipey, but, you know, gossipy about the world of academic and literature in particular. So this book covers nameless characters again. Very few of the people in the book have names. So our narrator is a very intelligent, single, older woman who is an academic. The first part of the book kind of deals with several vignettes from her life. She goes to see a speech by a famous writer. He's talking about climate change and kind of the destruction of the planet by humanity. She is in the area because she has been visiting a friend who's got terminal cancer. You know, you also meet the lady who runs the Airbnb that she's staying at. You see some scenes from her previous life, discuss the life of her friend who has cancer and her daughter and things like that. And then in the second half of the book, the friend makes a proposition and says, look, I'm dying. I want to go out on my own terms. I'd like you to assist me with that. Can you help? And the narrator is kind of taken aback and says, I mean, I guess so. And the woman says, I don't think you'll be offended if you find out that you're not the first person I've asked, which I think gives you a sense of the kind of humour and the wit and levity running through a book that is about a sister dying. So they go off to a house together and start trying to approach this process of the woman making the choice to end her life. Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful, uplifting, hilarious slice of life. What did you think, Anna?
Yes, I think I agree. I really enjoyed it. If you like The Friend, I think you'll love this as well. It's a very similar tone and I really love her, the tone that she writes in. So it's erudite but lightly done. By that I mean there's lots of those literary references sort of sprinkled through it, but not in a heavy-handed way, but enough to be stimulating. It's very dry, which I like. There's nothing sentimental about her writing. So there is that dry humour and even just the humour of the situation because it lends itself to humour. And I think those extreme scenarios often are on the edge of tragic or comic.
It's absurd in a way.
And there's that absurdity, yes, and she really draws that out. So I really enjoy that, and in the same way that I loved The Friend. I think I just love being in her company. And this narrator, again, she doesn't, you know, she's unnamed, but you just start to get a sense of her. She's very no-nonsense. She seems to be not thriving, I think you'd say, like that she's sort of going along to this
stuck
lecture
a little bit.
Yeah, she seems just a bit like her best years might have been behind her, but she almost had, there's almost a sense of disappointment with her life, or if not disappointment, resignation, or just she doesn't seem very sort of excited and hopeful for her, as far as I can tell. But that's the beauty of Sigrid Nunez's writing, is you can read into that, or you could read it differently and think, well, she seems perfectly fine and happy. You know, it's not all laid out for you.
It works on lots of different layers, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
And then she goes to the talk, and then she meets with her friend, and off they go. And that's on the blurb, so we're not that's not a plot spoiler, that this is the premise of the book. And it is really interesting, because they're not great friends. They're old friends from college days, so they're not super close. But what comes out of this process, because they then spend time together because they go away somewhere where this is supposed to unfold, and what happens is that the friend who's dying has no time for lies or secrets or deceit of any form, because there's no time for that now. There's no need. And so she becomes brutally honest, and it actually brings this real honesty into their friendship that you don't normally have. So it sort of shows how you don't normally have that. And throughout the book, she gives you these what she calls sad stories of women, or what is it? This is the saddest story ever told, or something. And so, as you said, the sort of vignette-y nature of it, she'll just drop in these vignettes of a story she's heard, or something that happened to a friend, or whatever, of different women's lives. And there are a few towards the end of people in group therapy story where just the way people shy away from the truth, and the friend who's dying of cancer being really angry at, like, why wouldn't they tell this woman? Why wouldn't they validate, you know, this woman in the group therapy, who was just being incredibly honest and confronting a really uncomfortable truth about her own life or her marriage? And people were just papering over it and saying, oh, no, I'm sure he didn't mean, oh, I'm sure that it was really this, or I'm sure it'll be fine. And the way people do that, which is so
politeness just trumps everything. Almost.
It's real, and it really rings true. So I loved that honesty that she draws out in the extreme circumstances that they're in. That becomes this quite beautiful thing. And I think that element of honesty in their friendship brings a real depth to the story. Other than that, the narrator herself is not telling you everything, and you get that sense she's withholding things about herself. And so until you get that honesty with her friend, it is very much as we find in everyday life, that she's sort of rolling along on the surface, and you're not getting the depth, and you're not getting the honesty from the narrator, because you can tell even in those first few pages she's withholding the identity, which we won't, you know, spoil about who the speaker is that she goes to listen to, for example. She just, you're not getting
and it's a key, it's a key bit of information to her, but she's trying, it's almost like she's trying to be impartial, but you can't be impartial, especially about your own life.
So that's really interesting. I was dying to hear what you thought of it, because I read it quite quickly at a week that was very busy, and there's been a lot going on, and this is a couple of weeks ago, and it was a nice book that I turned to that was, as I said, loved being in her company, and I sort of raced through it and didn't know by the end of it if it was as cohesive as The Friend in terms of a novel, whether it was that tight or whether it was more vignette-y. But then I think it's the sort of book that maybe would bear rereading. And I think there's a lot you could explore and unpack from it. But what do you think?
I think because it's not as dark as The Friend, it's easier to enjoy. Because The Friend is dealing with the aftermath of a death and someone in intense grief, you know, you get similar kind of emotions, but this book, I think, is more about life. And the speaker who opens the book is talking about, you know, how we've stuffed everything up and you may as well not have grandchildren and don't bother. We've just got to kind of resign ourselves now to the end of the world and learn how to forgive each other and apologize. That's his message. And there's not a shred of hope in that. And I think the rest of the book is kind of talking back to that and saying, actually, these are all the bits about life that we can't just resign ourselves to letting go of, and that as humans, we're not very good at letting go and we're not good at kind of giving up. That even in the depths of a terminal illness that has a really obvious end date, this woman...
We're not good at letting people do that or accepting
that, or for ourselves,
confronting
that
someone did that.
I think it's kind of a reflection on that and thinking about, the nature of humanity and whether we are even capable of kind of just saying, okay, this is the end, we'll turn it all off and, you know, everyone can go home to their beds and we'll never get up again. I don't think that's realistic, and I don't think she does either. And I think she's also highlighting all the beautiful things about life, even in the midst of death, and that death kind of highlights those really profound moments.
Well, the joy and the satisfaction of having good friendships and relationships, I think that comes out of it.
And I love that that surprises both of them, that they weren't going into it with that goal.
Yeah.
And just the fact of spending time with someone that you have a connection with can deepen that to such an extent that it's worth hanging on to.
And there's not that sense of grief, as you say, as there was in The Friend, but the message I think you could take from it is that if there is grief, it's because there was love and actual happiness. And I suppose it's that hopeful message of, you know, that's actually a nice thing.
Yeah,
that's not
absolutely.
Not something to be...
You can't shut yourself off.
Shut off from because that's...
Just because you're afraid.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But certainly, I think you're right, it is a lighter read. And there's a relief in the sense that the friend who's dying of cancer, it seems to have really come to terms with it and has chosen this path. Mm. So you don't have that agonizing, it's not a drawn out traumatic aspect of the novel at all.
No.
And so it's not harrowing or depressing to read, although on the blurb you might think it's a dark subject matter, but in fact that element is not the feature really.
No. And I think in terms of a reading experience, and especially in terms of rereading, I think while I was flipping back through it, I read it several months ago before it came out and inhaled it just in an afternoon and then dipped back into it again. And I think it reminds me of Weather by Jenny Offal. Just there's so many moments of profundity scattered throughout, and all of those little observances and aggressions that she makes I think really do add up to be something quite powerful. In terms of whether it's as strong a novel, I think it's good. I think I really liked it, and I think,
it might be more of a, stronger in a slow-burning kind of way.
I think it opens up more points for discussion perhaps as well, because I think The Friend, she, when writing it, was dealing with such strong emotion. I think you become overwhelmed by that emotion, whereas here, as you say, it's more about showing how much you can love someone and all the wonderful things that that can bring.
This is more holistic. But it does, as you say, there are so many observations and meditations and commentary running through it that's what makes it such a comforting read, because it's like hanging out with a really intelligent friend who, as you go to the park or go to the movies or see someone talk about climate change or whatever, has these lovely sort of comments, really well-informed, interesting comments about it.
Yeah, she's funny and, undercuts all of the crap that we kind of tell ourselves. Yeah, one of my favourite bits about the novel was her thoughts about writing, and she's trying to keep a diary of her friend's last days and weeks, and she's finding that really difficult both on a moral level because it's not really her story to tell, but also that she seems to feel like writing it down will cheapen it in some way or change it in some way. And it made me think about when you are going through a period of such intense emotion, whether high or low, time slows in one weird way, and you really want to kind of capture that, but at the same time you are not as capable of kind of holding on to it, and so the writing of it will of course dilute it in some way and change it.
But that's also the problem with writing generally. Anything you put into words is reductive, isn't it?
And static, then, you know, it doesn't have the fluidity. And it made me think of, I've just started reading Helen Garner's second volume of Diaries, and she's just started an affair, I think, with Murray Bale. Like, this is in the first few pages. It's not a spoiler at all. But she writes so clearly and so harshly about all of everything that's going on.
Wow.
It's so scintillating. I'm really enjoying it. There's a similarity there between that kind of honesty and brutal telling and what Sigrid does here, even though this is fictional.
Yes, I agree.
That I really loved.
She is chasing that truth, isn't she? Yes, so a really good read. That is What Are You Going Through by Sigrid Nunez. And coming up next week, we will be reading Grace Jones, a short story from Nudie Branch by Irenosen Okoji.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, you can rate and review us on iTunes. That would be great. That helps people find the podcast. So thank you. And you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.